Good, let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Everybody have notes? Thank you, Jennifer. Got them passed out. So in June of 2023, I began to wrestle through 2 Corinthians 4. And the Lord began to highlight that passage to me, my worship team. So we talked about it for 6 months to a year, really, daily, every other day. Audra, it was more like 2 years, says Audra. I'm really poor with time. And then in the fall of 2023, the Lord highlighted the 2 Timothy passage. And then later in the fall, highlighted Ephesians 5, put on the whole armor of God. So we've taken the first month of our little gatherings to look at the 2 Corinthians 4 verse. We did 4 sessions on this treasure and an earthen vessel, that the power may be of God and not of us, and how he uses pressure to get us to limp and lean, so that when he uses us to the measure and degree he wants to use us, we are grateful, not boasting. Now we're going to look at the second scripture that has given me great courage and alignment over the past year and a half, 2 years. And that is, the Lord's given us power, love, and a sound mind. And then next week, Lord willing, and I think he does, we're going to look at putting on the full armor of God and taking it out of the realm of Sunday school. Because the full armor of God's a good, like, Sunday school message. Kind of like 1 Corinthians 13 is like a good greeting card message. Get those verses off the Hallmark poster and into the depths of our hearts, communicating the depths of truth they contain. Some of the most familiar passages to us become trivial or trite, but they're the most profound, simple truths of the gospel that give us courage. So we're going to look at putting on the full armor of God and what we are wrestling against, principalities, powers, and rulers of darkness, next week. This week is 2 Timothy 1, 6 through 7. So let's read it. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love, power, love, and a sound mind. First, stir up the gift of God within you. Paul reminds Timothy to stir up the gift. This is one of the privileges and blessings of a community of believers. We are to remind one another to stir up the gift of God within each of us. It is the opposite of commiseration and steps into the realm of edification. So we want to be a people and amongst a people that remind one another to stir up the gift, to operate in that deposit of God within each one of us. And it takes a reminding. If Timothy needed to be reminded, I need to be reminded. If Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, thought it fitting to remind Timothy, I think the Holy Spirit finds it fitting to remind me and to remind you. This I recall to my mind. There's a recalling and a remembrance of the deposit of God. Because if you just go by the train of thought in your head, by the whim of thought, that train of thought does not lead to operating in the gift of God. You actually have to take the reins of that train of thought. You can't just let it swirl and take the road it wants to go. B, the fact that Paul reminds Timothy also speaks to the fact that we need to be reminded. We have a propensity and general disposition just to go where our thoughts and emotions take us. Stir up. What does stir up? We are to be reminded. What are we to be reminded to do? To stir up. What does stir up mean? How do we do that? It's the intentional activization and engagement of the gift of God. To deliberately work the muscles of operating in the Spirit. Though we often start uninspired and weak, we end up inspired by the power of the Holy Spirit. D, setting up the gift, stirring up the gift is not about hype, but rather a daily sigh coupled with a prayer of help me, Jesus. And then a hand to the plow to do the work, to operate in that gift that has been deposited in you. Stirring up the gift is not about hype. It's not about a three-month season of how hard can you go, though the Lord loves that as well. But it's about a deep breath and a muttering of help me, Jesus. And then here we go. The good news is Jesus sees our sigh and hears our help me. He hears our help me prayer and counts it as sincere and often imparts divine energy for the task at hand. We end up running and not growing weary, walking and not fainting, as the gift of God is stirred up within us. It's a sigh often, but it's the opposite of not quitting. It is a sigh and I'm going to take a step in faith. I feel uninspired. I feel weak. I don't feel like doing this right now, but I'm going to. Lord, breathe on this stirring up action that I'm reaching to do, and He always does His part. And He asks us to do our part. So we remind one another to stir up the gift. Now, what is the gift? 1 Peter 4:10 through 11. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another. We've looked at these verses as we looked at the Corinthians passage. As good stewards of the manifold grace of God, as each one of you has received a gift. Question, do you agree with this verse? Do you go, I have received a gift? Or are we in this train of thought of, well, he's got a gift, she's got a gift, he's got a gift, her gift is evident, must be nice? Or do we agree with the Holy Spirit and the deposit of God in us and begin to operate in the measure that has been given? Some of us don't stir up the gift because we don't even think we have a gift to stir up. And the Lord wants to bring alignment in our minds that we operate in the deposit given. As each one of you has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Some of us know what our gift is, we just don't like it. We would rather have the next guy. So we'll just bury ours because we don't much care for it. And the Lord's like, well, we'll have a talk about that one. Because your freedom and your sound mind is actually wrapped up in you actually digging that thing up and start using it. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it with the ability which God supplies. That's your only option, is to do it with the ability God has given you. You can't do it with the ability somebody else has get the ability the Lord gave someone else. You have to do it with your frame, the gift within you. You know, the famous story is David putting on Saul's armor. Nothing wrong with Saul's armor. I'm sure it was excellent, effective, well-skilled, put-together armor. It didn't work for David. David had to operate in the gift for him. And then Ephesians 4, and he himself gave some to apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. So what does the fivefold ministry do? Talked about this 3 weeks ago. It equips the saints. What do the saints do? The saints do the work of the ministry. I mean, the fivefold ministry does the work of the ministry as well. But the purpose of the fivefold, those five things, is to actually equip the body. And then the body does the work of the kingdom. Stir up the gift of God within you. E, the gift of God. We stir up the gift of God placed inside us. It's not about doing something in your own strength, but rather to utilize that which has already been given by God. We're not trying to convince God to give us something, but rather reach to use that which is already deposited. So we're not trying to convince heaven to give us something. He's saying the gift of God is already within you. Just my generosity has already been displayed to you. Now respond by stirring it up. F, the alternative to stirring up the gift of God is to wallow in self-pity and lethargy and a downward spiral to depression, shame, and condemnation. There is no neutral in the kingdom of God. We know this. We're either stirring up the gift of God, which leads to power, love, and a sound mind, or we're not operating, and that leads to depression, shame, anxiety. There's no kind of ceasefire. There's no kind of neutral. We're either taking steps towards or being sucked into the principalities, powers, rulers of darkness direction. We're in a conflict that's perpetual, and it never stops. But he provides grace in the midst of the conflict. But there's no ceasefire. There's no stopping in the kingdom. What we do not have. We're going rather quickly because I want to get to the sound mind. That's kind of the main point that the Lord has highlighted to me. What we do not have the spirit of fear. So if it's fear, it's not God. The fear of the Lord subject over here, okay? We're not talking about that. We're talking about fear of failure, fear of loss, fear of hardship. If it's all of those things are not of God. Few things rob the joy and courage of a believer like fear does. Fear of failure, fear of rejection, fear of death, fear of physical hardship, fear of being misunderstood, fear of loss, fear of sickness, etc. The list goes on and on. Many people are driven by fear, driven by trying to avoid something bad. Some even have fear of not having fear. They say, fear is what motivates me. I won't be motivated if I don't have this fear of failure. Like if I won't be driven to work if I don't have fear of suffering loss. The Lord's like, no, that's not the way of my kingdom. You are to be motivated by something entirely different than fear. And that's to hit the target. That's to press on towards the prize, the upward call of Jesus Christ. There's many verses that talk about motivation in the Word of God. And fear is not one of them. Psalm 37:8 says, do not fret. It only causes harm. So what's the fruit of fretting? Harm. Harm. There's no kind of secondary fruit of fretting called motivation. No, it's harm in every way, in every aspect. Ultimately, fretting leads to harm. Be anxious for nothing, Philippians 4. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The fear, anxiety, fretting are all from the same tree, and the fruit of this tree is always harmful. Fear, fretting, anxiety are destructive. We don't have fear. If it's fear, it's not of God. But what do we have? Power, love, and a sound mind. Power. Let's look at power. Sometimes we don't recognize the power manifests as excellent. Sometimes we don't recognize the power of God manifest at all. The excellence of the power is both seemingly small and at times very great. The grace of God, when I say grace of God, I think power. Grace is divine enabling power. The grace of God on the human heart and mind to make right choices and is an example of the power of God and expressed in our life. His power flows through our ministry in subtle and not so subtle ways. We want to acknowledge and express gratitude for both the subtle and overt demonstration of power. So the grace of God upon your heart and your mind to make any kind of right choice, any kind of stirring up, any kind of I want to do the right thing is actually the power of God upon your emotions. Because it's not you and it's not these principalities. So if something is happening that's making you want to take steps towards him, it's the power of God on your mind and your emotions, whether small or big. And we want to celebrate and say, thank you, Lord. Now increase that in my mind and my emotions. 2 Corinthians 4:7 says the power is excellence. That the excellence of the power. Ephesians 1:9-20, exceeding greatness of his power. According to the working of his mighty power. These are big words attached to power. Which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated. So we have resurrection power. The same power that he worked in Christ is the excellence, exceeding greatness. It's the same power that we have within us. Ephesians 3. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all. Exceedingly wasn't sufficient to say. Above wasn't sufficient to say. Above all wasn't sufficient to say. Paul says, I got to say all three of them to try to communicate the greatness of this power. And it's according to the power that works in us. Titus 2:11, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaches us to do what? To deny ungodliness. Number two, to deny worldly lust. Number three, to live soberly. Number four, to live righteously. Number five, to look for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of Jesus. So the power of God manifests in you, or the grace of God manifests in you, empowers and equips you to do those five things. So where those five things are present in your life is where the power of God is present in your life. We have power. We have love. The very same love that the Father has for the Son has for us, John 15:9. As the Father has loved me, Jesus says, I have loved you. So to the measure, to the degree, to the fullness, to the extent, to the intensity, that the way the Father loves the Son, Jesus says, I have loved you that way. We are to be rooted and grounded in this love. Some of our favorite prayers that we've prayed for a very long time. This love is to abound still more and more and change the way we think and evaluate. Philippians 1:9, and hope does not disappoint because this love has been poured into our hearts by the power of the Holy Spirit. We have the very same love. And then we know that John 17 ends with, Lord, that love, that which I love them, you know, and you love me, let that love be in them, that they may love one another the way that I love. So he loves us the way the Father loves him. But ultimately, where we're all going is the full manifestation of love within us, our earthen vessel condition, that he may be glorified. And he's going to get us to love one another the way the Father loves Jesus. That is our destiny. We've been given power, we've been given love, and we've been given a sound mind. Took a chance and looked up the Greek word. This is not my specialty. The sound mind from the Greek word sophronismos. That's it? Okay. Any Greek scholars out there? Sophronismos. Okay. What does that mean? To be sensible and self-controlled. to be sensible and self-controlled. So what takes place when we stir up the gift of God within us? We operate in power, love, and sensibility. Rationality. A sound mind. So let's look at a sound mind. It's the gift of God. We have, letter A, we have been given the spirit of a sound mind. That is a mind that demonstrates stability in the midst of a destabilizing environment. It may be chaotic on the outside, but rational, slow, Holy Spirit-inspired thought prevails for the believer operating in the grace of a sound mind. It may be chaotic. There may be a swirl of all kinds of stuff on the outside. Relational pressure, circumstantial pressure. But the Lord says, I have actually given you the ability to have peace of mind, no matter what is going on externally. To think clearly, to think slowly, to not get sucked into the frenzy of the frenzy of the fray. His heart is a sound mind for all of us, for every believer. B, a sound mind is measured and restrained and does not give into the frenzy of intrigue and curiosity. What I mean by that, measured and restrained. There, like I said a while ago, this train of thought. We've all seen a movie where the train, the runaway train, and they're pulling the lever, and the brake lever breaks off. You know, there's TNT at the end of the thing, or there's a bridge that's about to blow up. You know, all of it. So many movies about the train. The train. You have a train in here. This train of thought is just going, going, going. And then these principalities come along, right? And they put coal on the engine of that train. And we give ear to what these principalities are saying and doing to get this train to go faster than it's ever meant to go. And the Lord's like, no, slow that train down. And he actually demonstrates his power by actually helping us slow that train of thought down. Slow it down so that rational thought, sound mind can actually begin to take place. But it happens at a pace that's much, much slower than the world demands we operate in. The world demands speed, fast, and haste. Haste in opinion, haste in thoughts, haste in speaking, abundance of words, as if we'll reach right godly conclusions on who Jesus is or anything else by everybody just spouting out simultaneously, and that never leads to Jesus. He wants slow, measured, restrained speech, yes, but thoughts. Our thought life, our speech life, our emotional life are all intertwined and integrated together. We know about the emotional life. We talk a lot about the speech life, but the mind is, and what to do with the mind is filled in the Word of God. We should take dominion over our mind. We are not subject to just let our mind go wherever. The Lord's like, no, I have given you a sound mind. A sound mind is measured, restrained, and does not give into the frenzy of intrigue and curiosity. Philippians 4:5 says, let your gentleness, and then I think it's the ESV says reasonableness, and then the King James says moderation. So there's this link, this reasonableness, sound mind, self-control, restraint. It's all like interwoven together in the Word. Let it be made known to all men, the Lord is at hand. Four actions that lead to a sound mind, operating with the power of God within us. He wants us to do our part. Number one, self-control. There's a dynamic link between a sound mind and operating in self-control. Some versions of the word use self-control instead of a sound mind. So the Lord has given us the spirit of power, love, and self-control. It doesn't even say sound mind. It says self-control. That's how intrinsically linked, and it comes from that Greek word I brought up. That's how intrinsically linked a sound mind and self-control is. We think a sound mind is kind of passive, but it's like, no, if you want a sound mind, you must operate in one of the fruits of the Spirit, which is self-control. We must resist the compulsion within us to know all the things which are not ours to know. We have a compulsion within us, all of us, a curiosity to figure out and to know everything about our neighbor. And we can even say, well, I just want to know how to pray for them. I'm just have compassion. We can say a lot of good verses to even cover up our nosiness. And the Lord's like, operate in self-control. Bring that to the table and yield it. That is not for you to know. And we can wrestle with God about that issue. And if we do that, we begin to have a sound mind. If we don't, that train is on track. Self-control. I want to know the things the Lord would have me to know about my neighbor. I don't want to know anything about my neighbor the Lord would not have me know. Second action, holding fast the pattern of sound words. 2 Timothy 1:13 says, hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and love, which are in Christ Jesus. Paul is instructing Timothy to hold tightly the foundational teachings and doctrines of the gospel. An unrelenting laying hold of just the basic gospel you know to be true. To not hold fast the pattern of sound words opens the door to a bewitching, much like that of the church of Galatia. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? So this bewitching began with a different way of thinking that ultimately leads to them to deny the very thing they saw with their own eyes, which was the crucifixion of Jesus. We must hold fast to the pattern of sound words, sound doctrine, basic Christianity 101. Death, burial, resurrection, forgiveness through repentance, saved by faith, and anything contrary to those sound words, we don't give ear to. It is, I believe, dangerous to give ear to. I think we open up a Pandora's box and open our mind and our emotions up for this Galatians bewitching that takes place. And confusion begins to settle in our mind about the basics of the blood of Jesus. there's an arrogance about, well, I've got, you know, if it's true, what's it going to hurt if you refine that truth through the different argument? That is step one, in my opinion, of the bewitching. It seems noble. It seems like, yeah, totally. My arguments can withstand this demonic assault. And my argument will be better off refined at the end of the day. The Lord's like, no. You open up a Pandora's box in your deconstruction, and you will not build back better and stronger. You will end up confused and conflicted. Hold fast that truth of sound words, and it is not negotiable. If you want a sound mind, I think we all do. First action, self-control. Second action, hold fast those sound words that you have heard, you know to be true. Third, mind your own business. 1 Thessalonians 4:11, that you also aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your own hands. To mind your own business. Mind is I'm going to get this wrong. It's a verb, but it's also a noun. But it's a verb. Have anybody seen The Last of the Mohicans? Not Last of the Mohicans, The Last Samurai? Anybody? The old Tom Cruise movie? You know, Tom Cruise is fighting, and the samurai comes over to him because he's not doing well. Anybody know what he says? Too many mind. Too many mind. Too many mind. He's like, you're thinking too much. You're thinking too much. Mind your own business. Put your mind on your business, not on the business of others. Mind your own business. Don't have thoughts that are not yours to have. It opens a door. And then four, be careful what you hear. Take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. And to you who hear, more will be given. Be careful what you hear. Turn the page. Now we're about to look at an unsound mind. And there's four actions that lead to an unsound mind. Can you hand me those notes? And guess what? They correlate to the four actions that lead to a sound mind, right? So let's look at A. An unsound mind is an unstable mind. A mind given over to the swirl of inner dialogue that leads to great fear and doubt. There is a correlation with faith to stability and doubting to instability. James says, he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Four actions that lead to an unsound mind. We went through briefly four actions that lead to a sound mind. Now four actions that lead to an unsound mind. Go to page three. What's the first action that leads to a sound mind? Self-control. Self-control. What's the opposite of self-control? No restraint. So the first action that leads to an unsound mind is casting off restraint. You actually indulge in that train. Some of it, like there's a measure of pleasure in indulging in that train of thought. Casting off restraint. We cast off restraint by indulging the thoughts of our own imagination that villainize our brothers and sisters in the body and daydream of their downfall and destruction while simultaneously making us the hero of our own story. And it feels good. Yeah. Vain imaginations. That's what it's called. The Lord's like, self-control. dial that back, or your mind will spin out of control. And you will not end up with a sound mind. Psalm 2, very familiar verse. Let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us. You know, the declaration of casting off the restraint of the word. We'll find freedom if we just do it our way, the human way, instead of Jesus's way. Romans 1:21, the King James Version says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts were darkened. If we give in to this vain imaginations, it leads to a darkened heart. Casting off restraint, number one. Number two, the second action that leads to an unsound mind. Instead of holding fast to sound words, we indulge in twisted words by gossip and slander. Gossip and slander are the breeding grounds for an unsound mind. When we step outside the bounds of God's ordained way of processing, we open doors to our mind and emotions to the onslaught of demonic oppression. The oppression leads our minds down a road of irrational, exaggerated, and unfounded thought patterns towards our brothers and sisters. When we open the dialogue to gossip and slander, forsaking sound words, begin to talk about twisted words, a distortion of what the Lord would say, think, and feel, and begin to not obey him, because he provides very clear instruction on when to say and what to say and who to say it to. When we want to process our way, we open a door through our disobedience to a greater access of demonic oppression upon our thought life. We give permission to demonic assault upon our thoughts when we step out of bounds and don't repent for it. The good thing is, we repent for it, we can shut that door. But if we just indulge in it, that door gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and then that stronghold comes in more and more upon our sound mind. And it's because we've talked in a context we were not supposed to talk in. And we said things we were not supposed to say. It is no small matter. Let's read it again. Gossip and slander are breeding grounds for an unsound mind. When we step outside the bounds of God's ordained way of processing, there is an ordained way to process. There is an ordained way to express disagreement. There's an ordained way to talk about sin. There's an ordained way to bring discipline. God has thoughts about all of that. But when we step out of his ordained way, we open doors to our mind and emotions to the onslaught of demonic oppression. We give permission for the oppression. The oppression leads our minds down a road of irrational. It's the opposite of a sound mind. It's irrational. It's exaggerated and unfounded thought patterns towards our brothers and sisters in Christ. Because if we engage in gossip and slander about my mom, I have my own swirl. What happens when she adds her swirl? It's bands. It's a double swirl. And then Jeremy is like, oh, yeah, I remember 7 years ago I had this interaction with your mom too. Bigger swirl. And this version of my mom that doesn't even exist now begins to exist in our minds because we've convinced each other through out-of-bounds processing that she is a different person altogether. Interpreting actions that my mom did, interpreting her tone, reimagining. That's a common word right now in the world. Let's reimagine everything. I'm like, that's dangerous. Hold fast the pattern of sound words. Don't go back to the beginning. Hold fast what you know to be true. But then a whole character of my mom gets formed, and I never talk to her. I don't do Matthew 18. What happens when you do Matthew 18? I go to my mom, and I look at her, and I'm like, I love my mom. I'm angry. And I give her the opportunity to say, oh, that's not what I meant. Oh, yeah, I said that all wrong. Forgive me. And I go, what? Okay, I forgive you. Done. Done. If I don't have that opportunity, she doesn't do it with her either. And Jeremy doesn't do it either. We got to talk, Jeremy. And now we're just, that James fire, what a great forest a little fire kindles. And we're just going around putting gasoline on our thing, our little offenses and things we didn't process right in the ordained way. And it's just like an explosion. And we are literally not thinking straight anymore. We are not thinking clearly anymore. We don't have a sound mind. But we've done it to ourselves, coupled with these principalities and powers that want to infiltrate the believer's thoughts. We must process in bounds. And when we don't, we must acknowledge it through repentance and align so that door gets closed. Proverbs 16 says, a perverse man sows strife, and a whisperer separates the best of friends. I'm not sure what a whisperer is. I don't want to be it, though. I kind of have a feeling on what it is, and I'm like, I don't want that. A whisperer does not sound good to me. A talebearer reveals secrets, but he who is of a faithful spirit conceals a matter. So what if there's even measures of truth to my mom? I want to go to her, talk to her, work with her, while at the same time love her, and because it covers. Like Noah's sons, when Noah screwed up, he's like, we aren't here to expose our father. No, I'm going to honor her. And that actually is healing for her. It's healing for me. And it leads to a sound mind. I'm not here to reveal. That is not in the Lord's heart. Number three, the third action that leads to an unsound mind. What's number three of the good side? Page three, mind your business. What's the opposite of minding your business? Being a busybody. Instead of minding your own business and tending to your own work, you are in the business of peddling in the business of others. You're like the broker for information. You're the dealer in secrets. First Timothy 5:13. And besides, they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, also gossips and busybodies, saying things which they ought. 1 Peter 4:5, I didn't put it on the notes. Let me see if I can find it. If somebody finds it before I do, tell me. 1 Peter. Somebody find it?
I got it. 1 Peter 4:5.
Yeah, can you read it?
Sure, or somebody else call it out, or I got it too. 1 Peter 4:5, who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? Did it?
Back up a verse? Back up a verse.
Okay, back up.
Thanks, Jeremy.
Wherein they think it is strange that
That's a good verse. That's not the verse I'm thinking of, though. Hold on.
Okay.
Maybe I wrote it down wrong.
Okay.
Maybe it's Second Peter.
Or First Peter.
We got to find it now.
Yeah, we got to find it. It's good stuff, though, too. You could teach on this one. Is it Second Peter?
Second Peter doesn't have a four.
Oh, that's
I'm like, where is it? There's a link between murder, this is why I need the verse, the idea, there's four sins that are listed, and three of them, one of them's murder, and the fourth is...
Oh yeah, it's 15. Let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief. Or is it an evildoer, or is a busybody in other people's manners?
Yes. He's like, don't be a murderer, don't be a thief, and don't be a busybody. He's like, yeah, that's all in the same vein. Is it, what is it, 415?
Yeah.
Not 5, thank you. That's the one. That elevates busybody to a different level. Last, what's number four on, what's the fourth action that leads to a sound mind? Being careful what you hear. What's the fourth action that leads to an unsound mind? Giving ear to a liar. Listening to lies or gossip is itself a sign of deficient character. It is an evil thing to have an eager willingness to entertain a deceitful tongue. Proverbs 17:2. An evil doer gives heed to false lips. A liar listens eagerly to a spiteful tongue. An evil doer gives heed to false lips. So who's in the wrong? He who speaks with false lips? Yes. But also he who gives ear to the false lips. We want to be a people that operate in the power, love, and a sound mind that the Spirit has given. That we operate in the self-control that is needed and He wants to help us with. To not participate in the whispering of talk. I'm not talking about just the drama of the past 2 years. I'm talking about always in our entire life and everything we've ever done, and it's so like readily available for all of us, no matter our opinion, to talk about our brothers and sisters in a way that's out of bounds. And every time we do it, we open our mind, open a door to greater influence, and we wonder why we're emotional wrecks. We wonder why that peace of God that's supposed to pass understanding, that's supposed to have its way in our thought life and our emotion life is not present. He's like, well, shut the door through repentance. You talked out of bounds. You cannot talk out of bounds. And every time you talk out of bounds, you don't have to go sound a big trumpet and virtue signal on how repentant you are. Just go to the person and say, I did it wrong. Forgive me. Go to the person that you were talking with and say, I did that wrong. I don't want to do that. Forgive me. We weren't seeking resolve. We weren't seeking conclusions. We were commiserating in how bad person A is or how bad circumstance A is. And I feel crazy right now because we did that. I literally feel like I'm losing my mind. I feel like a dog chasing its tail. I feel like I'm chasing the wind. I feel like I'm fighting the air. All the things I'm not supposed to do, I feel that way in my mind. And my mind is racing, and I can't get it to slow down. And the Lord's like, shut the door through repentance. And operate in self-control. Mind your own business. Stay out of the affairs of others. Quit talking to you. I'm talking to all of us. I'm talking to me, Mama. No, I'm talking to me. Resist this compulsion to know everything about everything, to figure it all out, figure everything out, seeking out sources that are not whatever. The Lord wants us to operate in maturity and the fruit of the Spirit called self-control, to guard our mind, to bear fruit in our emotions, that what comes out of us is not salty. Right? Y'all know what I mean by that? James. Back at James. Back at the tongue. What comes out is fresh and salty. A little bit of salt, what? Taints the whole thing. Makes the whole water supply salty. It only takes a little of speech out of bounds to make the river that's supposed to come out of you salty. Amen? Sound mind. Sound mind. If you feel like your mind's been racing the past month, 2 months, whatever, ask the Lord, Lord, what, is this of you? And he's going to go, most likely, no, it's not of me. Your racing mind is not of me. It's part fear. It's part open door. And I want to bring peace. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We want your ways. Lord, we ask for the sweetness of your conviction that doesn't condemn, but enables us to take steps forward in your kingdom. And we just ask to highlight areas to each one of us. You highlight, whether it's a conversation we've had that we shouldn't have, so that we can align with you in greater ways, so that we can experience greater dimension of the gift of God, that we can operate in the power, experience the love and the sound mind that you have given. We want the ability to slow our thoughts down, to slow the train down, that we could have a calmness about our inner life. You want a calmness about our inner life, our thoughts and our emotions. You have come, the Prince of Peace, to help us with peace on the inside, including our thought life. Lord, we want to bless those that curse us, pray for those who persecute us. Lord, you have laid forth what to do over and over again. That is our reach, that is our aim. In weakness, but sincerity. And we want to cooperate with the grace that you've given as we grow in maturity. We love you. Amen.